let's get to our guest. It's Frank Benzimra, head of Asia Equity Strategy at Societe Generale. Frank, we don't like to respond or react too much to 1 or 2 day trends, but we are a daily news show, so it's kind of what we do. We had a really big change today in that investors chased technology shares, consumer discretionary, communication services. They're all up really big. And all the value and cyclical names and some of the defensives that people, especially the defensive, have done so well of late, got slammed. Is this something you pay attention to? Do you want to be diversified, or do you want to just go all in on what could be the next phase?
Yes, you're right. And what we have seen is there's been a kind of a shift of narrative from a stagflation to a credit worries to a recession worries, and then you see the long duration asset which are starting to perform again. They are still expensive in our view. But what we could see is that you have some investors starting to chase this part of the market, and what we find it is making sense on what we called the defensive growth. So the one where you can have some relatively good visibility of earnings, and which are in the tech sector.
But this is definitely seen that with what we saw with the Nasdaq yesterday in the U.S. Good gains for them, and also the Nasdaq Gold and China Index. But okay, that's one way of looking at it. But what about credit itself, and how is that at the moment being impacted with the prospect of higher borrowing costs? And is it, you have to be very selective?
Yes. Well, first of all, in our global asset portfolio, we think that credit is it's still in the danger zone. We have not seen the spread widening enough yet to reflect the concerns that we have on this asset class, and it means for equity market to remain on a strong balance sheet on what my colleague in the US is calling the credit shock survivor. So this kind of company with a low level of debt and some high level of cash flow.
Some interesting changes in your Asia portfolio here, moving Taiwan and India. Can you sort of spell out some of those themes?
Yes. So Taiwan is a very very interesting market. It has been relatively resilient for some time. What we see is actually two things. One, we have this quite pronounced decrease in earnings and revenue, and we are expecting to see more downgrade. Here I'm talking of the cyclical part of the of growth, and Taiwan is very much part of it. And then you start to see some geopolitical premium appearing on this market, and we find that we have better opportunities in Asia, okay. And India is one of them.
It's quite clear. I mean, from what we were talking about before, we'll come to some of your top geographical areas, but that wherever you are, given the mood music, you need companies which have strong credit profiles. You need companies which have free cash flow, perhaps also decent valuations. Is this the way you protect yourself?
Yes. So this is a way that we are protecting ourselves. But also, you have you have a few exceptions in the world. One is of course China. Where you have this policy divergence, you have this economic cycle we see, which is not in sync with the rest of the world, and this is where you still find some opportunities. And then you have one market that tends to be neglected is Japan, because in Japan you have strong balance sheet, you have a very low valuation, you have the yen, which is helping to reflate the economy. And the market has been so far resilient, but I think this is one of the upside surprise that you could see in the second half of the year, especially after the upper house election.
Okay, so that's one interesting, slightly contrarian trade. In China, it wouldn't be contrarian because it has been outperforming of late, but I think a lot of investors would like to know if there's been a real change in thinking on policy, or whether or not once growth comes back, they go back to those sort of tighter ways.
Regulation. Yes. So regulation, I think it has been clear since the month of March there will be at least some pause in the regulatory tightening. We think that the leadership, they need to have some strong internet platform for employment purpose, for boosting productivity. And for us, the worst is being done. So that's the reason why we are remaining bullish now is not that much because of this regulatory peak which has been passed, but more for the growth prospect that we could see in the second half of the year when the rest of the world is actually slowing down.
So that's the overweight position for China. But then we look at India, which was underweight. You've gone more positive here. And it does come as the rupee there continues to lurch to fresh record lows. And on top of that, we see an exodus of capital.
Yes. And what we are seeing as well is the price of oil is receding. So something that can give a little bit of relief for Indian bonds, for the rupee, that market has always the equity market has always been quite expensive. It remains at a premium, but we are coming back in the more affordable space. So we start to see some opportunities in the market. We were talking on some defensive growth. You have the IT service sector, which has decreased quite significantly in the recent period, and so we start to see some opportunities in that market.
One trade that might be considered a little bit contrarian would be if emerging markets outperform the U.S. in the second half of the year, even if the U.S. is determined to be in recession. Do you think so?
If you include China in the emerging market, that is possible, and that is our scenario. Where I have a little bit more difficulties on the other large emerging market, Korea, Taiwan, usually extremely correlated to the financial condition in the U.S. So as long as we see those tighter financial conditions, they will have difficulty to perform.
Frank, thank you so much for joining us. That's Frank Benzimra there. He's head of Asia Equity Strategy at Société Générale.